So if you would open your Bibles, please, to Daniel. Now, the Daniel 6:10 is on the back of your devotional, which we will be referring to briefly. So maybe turn to Daniel 9 in your Bibles and keep the devotional handy. We're talking about prayer. I've heard my counselor wife tell me the following, that sometimes in relationships, I think primarily a marriage, that although two people can have access to one another or live in the same home, that they can miss each other. They can not see each other. They cannot really experience the relationship with one another. They're married, but they aren't able to really experience the relationship of marriage. And I don't know if she's said this to me or not, but I think my two cents on that is that maybe it's because of lack of communication. Would that be accurate? Could I say that? Yes, communication. Now, the same is true of us and God. And this is something that God has brought so crystal clear and home to me that I feel a pressure to convey it to you. That through repentance, and we've dealt with repentance, but through repentance, we have access to God. When you repent, God calls it a marriage. We're in a marriage to God. And when you repent, the barrier is removed, and you live in the same home, as it were, with God. Remember what Jesus said in John? He said, if you love me, the Father and I will come, and we'll make our home with you. You have access to an immediate, intimate, and direct relationship with an all-powerful, sovereign God. That's what repentance does. Repentance puts us in the same house with God. Repentance gives us access to that kind of relationship with that kind of a being. But without prayer, we can miss him. We can be in the same house, like a couple living in the same house, and they can miss each other. They never really get to know each other, never really see each other. They miss the experience of the relationship. See, and if you've repented, you have access to this. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have access to an all-powerful sovereign God to be in an immediate, intimate, and direct relationship with that kind of a being. And without prayer, we will miss it. We will not see him, and you never really experience that relationship. Again, just like any other relationship, it has to do with communication. Communication with God. Communication is what gives us the experience of the relationship. And what you experience through prayer is two things. It's you experience the power of God, And just as important, you experience the power of the relationship with God. And, you know, it's funny, last week the Holy Spirit gave me that, and I wrote it down. I didn't really know where the Spirit was going with that, but I have too much obeisance to the Holy Spirit's teaching that I always jot these things down. I have to do them many times on the fly. You know, I'm just doing something else, and the Holy Spirit will give me a message, and I have to grab a piece of paper and write down what the Spirit said. And the Spirit said to me 2 weeks ago, power of the relationship. Prayer brings power of the relationship. We don't experience, without prayer, God's power or the power of the relationship. You see, relationships have a power. I can just take a sidebar here for a minute. Teresa and I, together, as a couple, are very powerful. And as in any relationship, what the enemy tries to do, because I think Teresa and I together have been used by God powerfully in the kingdom. Now, I'm not touting myself here, okay? Please understand where I'm going with this. I'm not doing that. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit has done something. And he's done something with the two of us. And when we're together, the power of our relationship together in the kingdom is powerful. And see, the same thing happens with us with God in prayer. When you pray, you experience God's power if what you pray for comes about. We say, well, we saw God's power demonstrated here through prayer because I prayed about a specific situation and that prayer was answered. And then you say, well, I saw God's power there, right? You with me on that? What if your prayer isn't answered? What if you pray about something and it's not answered? That's the other aspect of praying that I want to key in on today because it is life-changing. And that is the power of the relationship that develops between you and God through praying. Let me tell you, I've told you this story before about Teresa and me. We talked about it yesterday. When we were kids, I mean, high school, we got on our Schwinn bikes, same bikes we're riding today. Same bikes. We got on our Schwinn bikes, and I lived up there on Vanderbilt Road, and Teresa lives in Lexington. We got on our Schwinn bikes at Vanderbilt Road and started riding down Possum Run Road. You know, first of all, that's dangerous, but we did. We got on the bikes and rode down Possum Run. I don't even know where we were going, but we rode clear down here to Newville Church. Well, we must have been 17 or 18 years old. I've been by this church, you know, a few times, I guess, before that, but here we are. We ride our bikes down here, and we stop at this church. You've heard this story before. I'm going to tell it again because I enjoy it. Stopped at this church and got off our bikes and walked around, tried to look in the windows of this church. And we sat on the front steps. And we said, you know, let's go here sometime. Let's attend church here sometime. Well, we never did. In all that time, we never attended church here. But I know from that story, from that experience, I mean, can you get your minds around that? That I had no clue that someday I would be called to be pastor of this church that two kids rode their Schwinn bikes down on and noticed this church. You see, God was talking to me then. God was talking to both of us then. And I'm telling you that story because, you see, the relationship between my wife and I and factoring God in became very powerful then for the kingdom. In fact, when I bought my land, Black Locust Farm, I don't know why I bought that land. I don't know why we drove down Possum Run Road when Timmy was, he was 1 year old. And we're just driving around. We went down Norris Road, which at that time was just two cow paths. Just two tracks in the grass. That's all Norris Road was. And we just turned down that road. And, well, this is so far afield of the subject, but I think it's kind of interesting. And so we drove down there, and there was a little for sale sign, no bigger than just a notebook page. In the middle of the field, it just said for sale. And so we pulled our car over, and we got out, and we looked at that field, and we carried Timmy down there, and we bought that land. Here it is, 3 minutes from this church. Do you see this? Do you see the reality of God in our lives, and how what we look at sometimes as circumstance or happenstance is actually the divine leading of an all-powerful sovereign God? Now, without prayer, you see, without prayer, you miss that. Without prayer, we miss the power of the relationship with God. Last week, before we do that, two things I think you should jot down that have been real simple and helpful to me. Two things. Repentance gives access. How about that? Repentance gives access, and then underneath that I wrote down, prayer gives experience. See, you've got the access. And now the Holy Spirit wants you to have the experience, because some of you have a boring faith. Boy, what a judgmental thing to say, Tim. Yeah, I know, but I feel that could be true. And sometimes your faith becomes old hat. And do you know why? Because you're not in the experience with this all-powerful sovereign God. It's like any other relationship that can become old hat and can become a bit stodgy and a bit mundane and a bit boring without communication. Do you see that? Your relationship with this all-powerful and sovereign God can be exhilarating and can be thrilling, because there's nothing like plugging in to that kind of a being. And that happens through prayer. Last week, I talked about the mechanics of the Daniel prayer. And that's where we look at Daniel 6:10. The mechanics of the Daniel prayer. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. The rhetorical question is this. Were you able to, this week, practice the mechanics of the Daniel prayer? Here's what the Daniel prayer is. A certain time, number one, a certain time set aside. Every day. Certain time. I mean, and nothing's going to get in that time. Number two, a particular place where you do this. Number three, posture. Posture. And maybe that, as I said, my particular bias, maybe, but it works for me. Because of who I'm in relationship with, creator of the universe, sovereign, all-powerful, I'm on my knees. Can't do it any other way. Well, yeah, we were talking with a friend this week about this prayer thing, and I need to clarify that, do I have conversational prayer with God during the day when I'm sitting? Of course I do. I have conversational prayer with God when I'm sitting or when I'm doing something else. I'm not saying that that's not part of it, but I'm saying there is something uniquely powerful, and I'm telling you this from experience because I do practice this. There is something uniquely powerful with getting on your face literally before this being. Daniel practiced that. You see, he goes, look at 6:10 here. He went into his house. The windows in the upper room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day, he got down on his knees. He prayed, and he gave thanks to God, just as he had done before. So a particular time. a particular place, a particular posture, and then persistence. Persistence. Do it. Just keep doing it. And number, and the last one is passion. Passion. The Daniel prayer is a prayer from your soul. The Daniel prayer is a prayer from a broken heart with bent knees and, like I said, wet eyes, where you have no other recourse. The Daniel prayer is where there is no other solution. It is when you are in a situation, like Juliet said in Romeo and Juliet. She said she was past care, past help, and past hope, where there's nothing else. And that is what is called a fast. That's the other aspect of the Daniel prayer. A fast, meaning there's nothing else that you can employ. You are at the end of your rope. You are in a corner. Your back is against the wall. And nothing else interferes. You can go to all kinds of help. You can consult other things. You can read other things. You can go to other Christian brothers and sisters and look for help. But that never supersedes going to God in a place on your knees and praying about a particular situation. Did any of you practice that this week? That's rhetorical. You don't have to tell me. But I'm going to say this to you. If you did not practice it, and if you do not practice it, you're missing the relationship. And you're missing the power that comes with that relationship. Prayer isn't just about us getting what we want. That's what this study has opened up to me. Prayer is about developing a relationship. Time, place, posture, persistence, passion. And we go to God. And we develop a relationship with Him. So we look at Daniel 9, just 1-3 today. Just those three verses today. Because the Holy Spirit has to get across. I feel a pressure about this. I think that God's people are missing the relationship. You've got the access. Like you've got access to your husband or your wife. If you're married and you're in the same house, you've got access. Do you have the relationship? Are you communicating? Is there power in that relationship? That's what the Daniel prayer does. In the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, a Mede by birth, who was ruler over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, this Darius, I, Daniel, understood from the books, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. So, I turned my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer and petitions with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. There's the passion. Now, I have a question for you. Why, if Daniel knew... That, and you know, first thing that struck me there, you know what's kind of exciting to me when I read that? Daniel is reading the same Jeremiah that we read. Is that not just mind-boggling? It is to me. Daniel's actually opening up the scroll, and he's reading the same prophet that we have the opportunity to read today. That's the first thing that struck me here. Second thing that struck me, God made a promise. God made a promise through Jeremiah that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Why pray? The promise is there. Why pray? You've been given promises by God. Promises in Scripture. You've been promised three things by God. That He's going to amp up his grace to meet and exceed your sin, number one. Number two, he's going to shape your history to make good on his promise to you, the all things promise of Paul, that all things are going to work together. And number three, he's going to overrule all of your sin and weakness. He's going to rule all that stuff in your life. So those are three promises that have been made to you. Why pray? I have heard it seriously argued by God's people and people in not my immediate family, but in my extended family, about the state of our nation. And they have said, well, God is in control, so he's going to work all of this out, so why pray? Why even get involved? Because this is all going to happen. It's going to happen as God wants it to happen. Here is Daniel reading a prayer, reading a promise made by Jeremiah that the desolation of Jerusalem is going to be over in 70 years. Why pray? Why did Daniel pray? Why did he go to his knees? Why the passion behind that prayer? Why do you pray? You see, the reality for Daniel, and he was 16 when Nebuchadnezzar came down and razed Jerusalem and took him away in captivity. He was 16. The desolation lasted 70 years. Daniel was 86 when the desolation of Jerusalem ended. In the meantime, he's going on his knees three times a day asking God to make good on the promise made through Jeremiah. Why? You know what Daniel's doing? You know what the Holy Spirit opened up to me? Daniel is praying in the gap between the desolation, his home gone, his family gone, the desolation of his home, the desolation of his future. Imagine that, 16 years old. Your future is no longer what you want or imagined. You have no rights. He's living in the reality of that desolation. And on the other side, 70 years hence, is a promise that that's going to be taken care of, that God's going to restore Jerusalem. Daniel is praying in this gap. His reality is desolation. His hope is the promise that God had made through Jeremiah. Will Daniel's prayer, or will any of our prayers, I'm going to make this specific for us here in a minute. I don't want you to miss this. Will Daniel's prayer pull the promise of God into reality? Do the promises of God somehow, some way depend on his people praying? What do you think about that? If God's made particular promises, why pray? It's a done deal. It's over. We just now bide our time and we just wait till the promise is delivered. Does Daniel's prayer pull God's promise into reality? And does Daniel see it? And does Daniel experience the answer to his prayer? Well, sometimes. Sometimes. And when that happens, and when you pray about a situation, when you pray about a desolation in your life, and you see the answer come, you say, I just experienced the power of God because my prayer was answered. And when you pray, because something's been desolated in your life, something else happens. And you don't see the answer, something else happens. Because Daniel is in the gap, and I'll bet some of you are. Let me tell you, your pastor is. I'm in a gap between desolation and the promise of renewal. And because Daniel is in that gap, get the nuance of this, and I hope, Holy Spirit, I want you to help me right now make this clear. Because Daniel is in the gap, because he is experiencing desolation, he goes and has regular prayer time. Regular prayer time born from desolation in his life. Something lost. Something destroyed. Some heartache. Some hurt. And because he has regular prayer times, Daniel's relationship with God grows in power. Grows in power. And buoyed by this, strengthened by this relationship with God, I'm gonna come around full circle to the Tim and Teresa story here in a minute. Buoyed by that, God uses Daniel in ways that seemingly have no connection to what Daniel was praying for. Is that crystal clear? Because I am in the gap of desolation and delivery of promise, because I'm in that gap, and because my reality has not yet come in line with the promise of God, it drives me to the Daniel prayer. How about you? Any desolation in your life? Oh, I prayed about that, and God didn't answer, so I'm done with him. Apparently, God's not powerful enough to fix this for me. Listen, we've got to let go of our sophomoric view of prayer, God's people. It's not about getting what we want. Prayer with God is about strengthening the relationship between you and God. And then what you'll find and what Daniel found, you know what God did with Daniel and the relationship that he had with him? God impacted an empire. You're in the gap. Unless everything's hunky-dory in your life and everything is going exactly the way you had envisioned and everything is just fine in your life, absent that, you're living in a gap. There's been desolation. Hopes, plans, dreams, finances, health, relationships, whatever. And it is because of living there in that gap that Daniel was driven to his knees. And it's because you're living there in that gap that you go to your knees and you pray about this specific situation, this specific desolation. And what you find will happen. That specific situation may not change one bit. Daniel never saw the answer to his prayer. Daniel never returned to Jerusalem. But what happened to Daniel was even greater than that. And what will happen to you is even greater than that. You'll become such an intimate with God through these regular times of prayer, through the communication, through the building of the relationship, that God will then take that powerful relationship that you have developed with him through prayer that is not always answered. And I'm going to say this. More often than not, it's through unanswered prayer. It's through unanswered prayer that the relationship continues to grow with God. That's a tough concept, isn't it? God took Daniel and the power of their relationship from Daniel living in the gap, and he influences Nebuchadnezzar. He influences Darius. He influences Cyrus. God intersects with a culture. God intersected with a pagan culture because Daniel was praying about something else. Do you see this? I'm going to give you a personal example, since I'm all about personal examples today, apparently. Desolation came to my door. I prayed. I'm on my knees. I'm doing the Daniel prayer. Wet eyes, broken heart, bent knees. And a funny thing happened along the way. The specifics that I was praying about, not answered the way I wanted them to be answered. But a funny thing happened along the way. God calls me to this church. See, that was never on my radar screen. And many times during those regular meetings with God, and I felt that pulling, and I wanted to say, you know, God, I don't want, no, forget that. I want to get back to my request. Church, pastor, what? Do you see this? But I kept coming back with regular prayer times because my prayer wasn't being answered. And I'm thinking, well, if I keep battering on the door of heaven long enough about this specific request, that's going to be answered. And God says, I'm going to answer this in a way you never would imagine. I'm going to use the power of the relationship, Tim, that you and I have developed through these regular prayer times, and I'm going to use you. Therese and I came to this church. Nate and Ellen were holding the bag here with Judy and Gary. Really, the church was teetering. I mean, there's no the question. This church was teetering on the edge of falling off the cliff. Not that my ministry has been, you know, powerful and I've bowled people over with my spiritual insight, but the point I'm making is the gap in Daniel's life and, listen, in your life and whatever that is, the gap is necessary. The gap is used by God. To enhance your relationship with Him. Take the desolation away from Daniel. Take the desolation away from Tim Davis. I'm not going to him in regular prayer. Didn't need to. Now, my relationship with him was weak. My relationship with him suffered because I didn't communicate. Didn't have to. I had no gap. I had no desolation. The desolation comes. Here, this is hopeful for you. If you're a man or woman of God, you are exactly where you should be. Stop railing against it. You're exactly where God wants you to be. That might be hard for some of you. It's hard for this one. Teresa said this phrase to me. This is where this all really spun out of control in my head, Teresa. She said, nourished by loss. You're nourished by loss? And I said, well, I hope that's not true. Well, Daniel was nourished by loss, wasn't he? The loss of his hope, dreams, home, family pushed him into regular meetings with God, and it nourished him, and God impacts an empire. And I'm sure Daniel is thinking all along, you know, back to Jerusalem, God. Let's get back to my issue. Back to Jerusalem, God. And I same thing for me. I said, you know, back to my issue, God. No, God said. You're in the gap for a reason. The gap is necessary. The gap is used by God. The gap strengthens the relationship. And now I'm going to take the power of that relationship that you and I have developed in these regular prayer times, and I'm going to use you in my kingdom in a way that you never even dreamed of. Clicking? Tracking? Oh, I know. Look, I'm with you. I'm with you. That I want my prayers to be about getting my things fixed. Got it. Daniel didn't get his things fixed. Cyrus let the people go back in the first year of his reign. Cyrus let the people go back to Jerusalem, first year of his reign. And we read in the text that in the third year of Cyrus's reign, Daniel is still in captivity. Daniel never got to return to Jerusalem. Never. Your gap is how God intersects the pain of the world. Oh, I know it's a burdensome vocation. I know that. It's the Christ pattern. It's how God intersected the pain of the world through the pain of Jesus. Your gap, your desolation, and your regular meeting with God and praying about that desolation is how God is going to intersect the pain of the world. Prayer is not just about seeing God's power when your stuff is fixed. Immature. And I know that philosophy is rampant out there. I know that. Pray just a particular way, do the particular things, and you're going to get what you want because that's God's job. Prayer is more, I've discovered through the study in Daniel, prayer is about strengthening the bond between me and God because I meet with him regularly, because I have desolation and I need him. At the end of the book, this will help you. At the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel's getting all these revelations, and Daniel says to the angel, he says, well, I heard what you're saying, but Daniel says, but I don't understand. And so I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these things? Don't you ask that. What'll be the outcome of these things that I'm praying about? In the very last verse in the book of Daniel, the Lord says back to Daniel, go on your way, Daniel, to the end. He never answers him. He doesn't tell him the outcome. Daniel says, what's the outcome of these things? And God says back to him, Daniel, you go on your way to the end. Then you will rest. And then you will rise to your destiny at the end of the days. I want answers now about the outcome of things. You do too. And Daniel did too. And God says to me and to you, and to Daniel, that verse is for all of us. He says to us, you don't need to know the outcome. Daniel, you don't need to know. What you need to do is keep going until the end. Till the end, Daniel, meaning the end of his life. Daniel, just keep going. I'm going to keep using you. The power of our relationship is going to keep going. Daniel, keep going to the end. Then you'll rest in death. And then you'll rise. Oh, what a day that'll be. Then you'll rise and you'll see the outcome of those things. You'll see your destiny. You'll see it all, Daniel. We live in the gap, brothers and sisters. I don't need to know the outcome of these things. But I know this. And for you, God tells us, keep going. Let go of your demand to know the outcome, but you keep going to the end. And God says, I'll take care of the outcome. I'll take care of the details. Is that hopeful? Is that not good? I can let go of that. The Daniel prayer. It's about the relationship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless these words. Strengthen us through this relationship with you. Amen.